This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي آمين. جزاكم الله خير for coming. It's a Friday evening. Probably everybody is tired coming from work. Not tired, alhamdulillah, that's good. May Allah increase you. If you have energy, may Allah give you more. If you don't have energy, may Allah give you energy. Ya Rabbi, Ameen. Jazakum Allah khair for coming. Apology for the delay in starting. It's because of the salah timing. And it's a blessing to me to start a program with the salah and end with the salah. And in between, it will be full of barakah, inshallah. So I was asked to talk about this topic, which is the adab of ilm, the etiquette of seeking knowledge. And this actually applies to everyone, meaning you are somebody who comes once a month to a halaqa, to a class. You are somebody who enrolled in a university and you took the path of the deen, the path of knowledge as your career. Or you are someone who stays home with your love, Quran. And you basically do it online, live stream, you read books. It doesn't matter. Because the only result is the same, which is you want to learn about this deen. And this is especially, when we talk about the etiquette of ilm, we're talking about the etiquette of the ilm al-shar'i, the etiquette of the sacred knowledge, the knowledge that will get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as most of you know, we spend beautiful time on the weekend. So what is number one, Muslim? I'm not going to give lecture. We're going to talk. So what is number one? The niyyah, as we learned. The first question you're going to ask yourself, each one, and that actually, if I may add, is not only when you are learning the deen of Allah. And I always, when people ask me, because some of you maybe may, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist by profession. So people, a lot of the medical students come to me and I want to be an OB. And I said, why do you want to be an OB? And this is my usual answer. If you're doing it for money, believe me, go and do it for something else. Go and do something else. We'll give you much better income and less work. So you always have to look at your intention. Okay, number two, I'll give it all to you, but let's talk first. Number two, intention, your after theory. Two, gentlemen. That's it, intention, we're done, alhamdulillah, we're good. It's about 10 points at least. Okay, that's number three. You practice what you learn, for sure. Okay. Three, it's okay, don't write, because I'm going to give it to you in detail. But I just want you to wake up first. Okay. This will be the last thing. The last point. You never, and I say this, never learn to teach. Absolutely. Because then you will take the wrong intention. Never learn to teach unless you want to teach your children. And you say, I'm not going to be able to raise a good children unless I know. But you're not going to say, I want to help my community. No. This actually will come when Allah wants you. So what else? I'm sorry? Exactly. Absolutely. You need to be humble. And we're going to talk about this in detail. I'll give you examples of the humbleness of the real scholars, not me and you and us, the real ones. Okay. 10, ladies and gentlemen. This is only 3. Okay. Yes. We said this with the intention. This all comes with the intention. Then the other etiquette is me, is related to the student himself. So we said intention. You said you're going to practice what you learn. We said we have to be humble. I can't hear you. Being kind, being gentle, it's taught when you learn, you're going to change. Okay, I'll take this one. It's good. This is a sign you're learning, is when you're changing, and changing to the better, not becoming arrogant. You see, you know how we are. We learn two hadith or one hadith, two ayat, and then everybody else knows nothing. No. Okay. It's part of it. It's things in my life is going to change. Because I took this path to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things in my life will change. Like what? How I'm going to look at my time? Who are my friends? How do I look to my teacher? And to the people who taught me? And this is extremely important. How do I look at the people who wrote the books that I am studying? I'm talking about people way before, right? And actually number two is that you need to be patient. You really have to be patient, otherwise you're not going to learn. Because you're going to give up very quickly. Okay? So let's start first, before we get into this item, get to this, I'll give it to you one by one. You need to learn one thing before you even start this path. Something which is unfortunately, especially living in this day and age and living in the Western world even more, is something called you need to learn the adab. Meaning, you need to know to be polite. You know what I'm talking about? Because this day and age, what is the character of the human being in general? What does the kids learn in school these days? Absolutely. Right? Look into my eyes, no respect, I don't like it, it's not fair, I answer, right? All this, and that's becoming the norm. That doesn't mean when you are a student, and this we're going to come to this, that you're not going to ask and you're not going to be the positive aggressor. But the adab with the teachers, you need to train yourself to be a bugger, a person who knows nothing and learning before you even take this path. For example, I'm going to give you some of the examples of the old Imam Malik. Right? You all know Imam Malik. He said, كانت أمي تعممني وتقول لي اذهب إلى ربيعة فتعلم من أدبك قبل أمي. He was a young man or a young boy. So she used to get him ready to go to the class. Look at yourself or your child. And تعممني meaning she used to make sure he dressed properly. You know, wear the turban. And she said, go to ربيعة, one of the teachers. But to learn politeness and manners before you learn anything else. Go and learn manners from him. Manners, meaning how do I sit? Remember for those of you who were with us in the retreat in the weekend, and you looked at me when I first started talking about this, I was like, the way you sit, the way you handle your book, the way, especially for the Quran, all these are signs of the manners. The more respect you give to this knowledge, Allah will give you more. For example, Abdullah bin Mubarak, a very famous, almost saint, and he's a knowledgeable and a faqih. And adab, manners, is two-thirds of knowledge. I learn to be polite with the knowledge of Allah. It's two-thirds of the knowledge itself. And the more polite you are, the more humble you are, Allah will teach you more. Teach you more, gives you more knowledge, or make you understand way easier than you thought. For example, Sufyan al-Thawri, which is a faqih and a very famous one, he said, Laysa عمل بعد الفرائض أفضل من طلب العلم. There is no good deed to do after the obligations. Allah made the obligation, but to seek knowledge. And he said in his time, the man, meaning man or a woman, will never start learning before they start to be polite. Give me an example about us these days. Are we polite with the, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about when you go, no, I really mean it. When you go to the real shuyukh, the real scholars who spend their life learning, and we sit in a lecture. And how do we behave? How do we sit? How do we ask? How do we behave when we disagree with the sheikh or with the teacher about something? How do we, normally, and I'm sure Sheikh Mustafa has much more to comment later on, but in general, in general, we think that we are equal, right? And as all the teachers teach you, especially when you start taking this path, they tell you, if you're going to come to learn this gym with a full cup, you will learn nothing. You know what it means? Because if the cup is full and you're going to put in it, what's going to happen? It's going to overflow. So whatever you're learning is going to come. You need to come to this deen, to this knowledge, especially the sacred knowledge we're talking about, with an empty cup. I know nothing. You come to a lecture and you say, I know nothing. Once you come with this attitude, Allah will make you see things you've never seen it before. Give you an example. How many times, and all of you, when you read the Quran, for example, Juz'u Amma, we all, how many times we've read Juz'u Amma? But when you read it with an open heart, and Allah have opened your eyes, how many times you look at one ayah and say, did I read this before? Is this really the one? How come I didn't see this? What happened? It's the same ayah. The Quran didn't change. It's you. It's your attitude toward the things. So the other vision, the new front, the way you learn, the way you sit, the way you look at this knowledge, you need to look at it as a ni'mah, as a blessing. That Allah will not give it to anyone. And if He gives it to you once and you didn't know the value and you're not grateful to it, Allah will not give it to you. So for example, also Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he said the following, من تهاون بالأدب, whomsoever took the manners of learning not seriously. Allah will punish him by taking away from him the love of doing the extras, the sunnah. Pay attention to this. These are small things, but it's extremely important. So if you don't think being polite with your teacher, following what he or she says, when I'm reading the book, the way I sit and I read the book, Allah will not, this is what it does. You're going to look at the sunnah as just sunnah. What's the big deal? Didn't do the turukat after maghrib, just sunnah. So Allah first will take the sunnah. And He said, من تهاون بالسنن عوقب بفرمان الفرائض. And whosoever will take the extras lightly, you're going to lose the obligations. Ask anyone who stopped praying, how did this happen? The first thing they will tell you is what? We stopped doing the sunnah. And then gradually they delay the salah. And then salah is done. That's why don't look at any of the sunnah. Enough, Allah Salaam did it. Don't look at it as very lightly. It's the sunnah. And those who was taken took the obligations very lightly, Allah will be driving from knowledge. So you cannot be a student of knowledge and you do not pray. Let alone regular, let alone in time, let alone the extras. And I brought the salah as an example, but I'm talking about every obligation. I cannot be, and I said this many times in the retreat, I can't be a student of knowledge and I start watching TV or the show. You're not going to get it. Allah will take it away from you. Or you will have it, but you understand nothing. So you really have to learn the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing you start, when you start learning, is what we learn in Tazkiyah. You empty your heart from all the diseases. You cannot look down at people and you're arrogant and you think you will learn. You cannot be jealous from people except not the jealousy, the positive jealousy. If someone is a hafiz of Quran, I want to be one. If somebody has memorized all the books of hadith, I want to be like that person. If somebody wakes up at 4 o'clock every day for Qiyamul, I want to be like that. That's okay. But not, who is she? She's with me in the class, who is she? No. You need to empty all this, all the bad characters in you. You look at this. You memorize this, you practice this, you ask Allah to give you this, then you come to the following points of ilm. Did you get my point? So the first thing is work on your manners. Work on your manners. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a shaykh for a teacher who stress on these points, you are lucky. Because these things you don't see it a lot these days. Unfortunately. If Allah gives you one who really pay attention to the adab of the ilm, then you are absolutely lucky. Now come to the phrase. Number one is ikhlas, intention. Intention means what? What's the intention? Simple question. What is the intention? What's the intention? There's one answer to this question. Is why? Why I'm doing this? Why you're here? Right? Why do you want to watch TV? Why do you want to go to college? This question, the answer is the niyyah. So I want to learn because I want to be rich. Your niyyah is to be rich. So the first thing is why you want to learn this. Why? The answer has to be only one answer. And that is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is ikhlas, sincerity, is an obligation or is an excuse? It's an obligation. Who sets it? Remember what you said? If you're going to give me a hukum, you need to give me the dalil. If you're going to give me a ruling, give me your proof. I can easily come and tell you, no, it is not. You're right, by the way. Absolutely, it's an obligation. But who sets it? Allah can't tell. And where is that? It's a source in Bayina. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were not ordered but to worship Allah alone with sincerity. So this, especially this knowledge, this kind of knowledge, no reason you are seeking it but to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about there is no other place I can study and Allah just took me in that path? Nothing less. I couldn't get to any college and then, you know what? Okay, let me get a year to study with you. What do I do? Where is my niyyah here? Is that possible? Yeah? Or you got accepted but not this year, 2018. And he said, you know what, I have 1 year, why do I want to stay home? Let me join California Institute University and then I'll study. What do you do with that? Say that again. Exactly. Remember what we learned? You always examine your niyyah, because the niyyah can change. You apply to Islamic studies because you really loved it. And then after a month, you find out this is too difficult. This is not what I like. Right? You need to re-look at your niyyah and say, no, you don't like it, but it's going to be for Allah. So you come in here and you said, you know what? The only reason I'm here because there's nothing else I can do. Fine. You look at yourself, you know what? Allah is so generous. He brought me here. I wasn't thinking, why don't I take the reward, and I'm going to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you revisit your meaning. And the Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam said in this beautiful hadith, whomsoever, من تعلم علم مما يبتغى به وجه الله لا يتعلمه إلا ليصيب به عرضا من الدنيا لم يجد عرف الجنة يوم القيامة. Whomsoever, and this is hadith Ahmad and Abu Dawood, whomsoever learned his deen, any kind of deen, any kind of knowledge that will supposedly, in dunya math, in dunya meaning, it will get you close to Allah. I want to memorize the Quran. I want to get to Islamic studies. I want to be a PhD student in Islamic studies. This is obviously knowledge of dunya. Whosoever did this, but for no reason but to get a reward in this dunya. For example, I learned there is an opening on, for example, Southern California University for a chaplain. And the only way I can get this chaplain, and I really want to be part of the faculty in University of California, is to study Islamic studies. So I'm going to go and do this because I want to be a chaplain, because I want to be on the faculty. Whosoever does this, if it's something of the dunya, he or she will not smell the smell of dunya. And there's nothing sacred than learning قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. But you really have to look at your meaning. For example, why you're here today? Why you're here? Don't tell me. InshaAllah, for Allah, for sure. But that's my point. You really have to keep asking yourself, why I'm doing this? Why I'm learning? And that goes to your children. Why do you want your child to be a part of the Quran? Why? Because it's the book everybody else is? It's becoming, alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, it's a spreading, I wouldn't say disease, it's a spreading character, which is beautiful. But why? Why do you want to be? You have also to look at this, because so people in front, in the, when you go out, people say, oh, mashallah, her children are fat. And that's not for Allah. Right? Or for yourself. So definitely look at your niyyah. What is the famous hadith about niyyah? The famous hadith. Any book you open, the book of hadith, the first hadith in al-Bukhari, what is that? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Right? Verily, deeds are measured according to the intention. Right? And you know the famous hadith, why? The man who wanted to go to Medina to get married to a woman. And when they came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, how we can let him come with us? He only coming with us because he wants to marry a woman. And what was the answer? If he is coming to marry the woman, then he will get the reward of it on marrying the woman. وَمَنْ كَانَ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If he is coming with us for Allah and his Rasul, he will get the reward for Allah of migrating for Allah and his messenger. So the niyyah is the most important thing in everything we do, let alone when we study for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Yusuf, how many of you are Hanafi here? Right? So who's Abu Yusuf? Abu Yusuf is Sahib, al-Imam. I said goes Hanafi. Abu Hanifa, right? Okay, so Abu Yusuf, he said, أريد أو أو learn this علم for Allah Ta'ala wa ta'ala. I have never, look at this one, this is Abu Yusuf. فإني لم أجلس مجلسا قط إني فيه أن أتواضع. لم أكن إلا والله قد رفعني. Okay, I'm going to translate. He said, learn this only for Allah. Meaning, don't look for any dunya reward. And he said, whenever I sit in a gathering, in my niyyah is only to be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have never left, but Allah had elevated me. And whenever I sat in a gathering, so so that I know I did not get up, but Allah has put me there. And who is this? That's Abu Yusuf. So always, never do, especially this thing, this knowledge. Don't do this for any reason but to please Allah. And that's the continuous question you're going to talk to Allah. Are you happy with me? Is this is how you want me to do this? Is this is pleasing you? Ya Allah, if it is not, then change me. Show me. And don't worry what people talk about. People can praise and people cannot praise. It doesn't matter. Remember, what's the sign of that you are sincere to Allah? In general, in anything you do. What is the sign? And the teacher, the scholars always teach you this. They say, alamat al-ikhlas. And yatasawa indaka al-madhu wal-dhanb. A sign that you are sincere to Allah. Praise and no praise is the same. So if people look at you and say, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, you're the best person ever. And people look at you and say, you are the worst ever. No change inside. Then you are sincere to Allah. We need to train. And this is in everything. You know, the kids praise the way I cook. The kids did not praise the way I cook. I cooked for you, Ya Rabbi. The kids say, Jazakallah khair, Daddy, you gave me this. Daddy, you didn't do anything for me all your life. It doesn't matter. Because I'm doing it for Allah. So, equal praise. That's why don't praise people too much. Because then we'll get used to it, and our ears will get used to it, and we'll miss it. Because it's, the nafs loves it. Us loves to be praised. So, once you have them the same, then you are in a good shape. So the first thing is al-ikhlas. Number two, which we didn't mention it, we're gonna say number two is taqwallah. Taqwallah, you have to be Allah conscious, you have to be Allah mindful, you have to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every step you do. Right? And one of the nicest, the most beautiful definitions of taqwa is actually two of the scholars. One of them I don't remember his name, who said, and yajiduka haythu أن يجدك أن يراك حيث يريدك أن يجدك حيث يريدك وإن لا يقتصدك حيث يريدك. Allah will find you where He wants you to be. And He will not miss you where He wants you to be. Or the other way you say it, he will find you where he wants you to be, and he will not find you where he doesn't want you to be. For example, time of salah, where should I be? Time of salah, where should I be? On my sujjada, on my musalla, in the masjid. I shouldn't be watching TV or talking on the phone. I'm not talking about emergencies. There's no emergency in TV, by the way. And on the phone. I'm talking about regular life. So, taqwa an yajiduk, alhamdulillah. An yajiduk haythu amarak. He finds you where he ordered you. He wants you to be. Talq ibn Habib, another scholar, he defined taqwa beautifully. In ta'man, bita'atillah, ala nurillah, tarju thawaballah. You work, do, say anything in your life. What pleases Allah? It's an obedience to Allah. And how do you know this? Based on what Allah taught us. And for only one reason, we want His pleasure. You work, do, say in your life everything what pleases Allah. Ala nurun min Allah, what He showed me and taught me, not the way I like it. And you only you want His pleasure. So this is the taqwa. Taqwa Allah, there is no student of knowledge. And he or she is in the path of obedience to Allah. And I'm talking about everything, and we've said this many times. Obedience of Allah is not only do. The obedience of Allah is don't do. So if he tells me don't do something, my obedience to Allah is to follow this. When he tells me lower your gaze, and this is to men and women, what does that mean? I need to lower your gaze. My gaze is not if and but. And we live in America, we live in this day and age. He said, lower your gaze, and this is dalil qat'i. This is a clear proof from the Quran. Allah says, don't backbite, meaning, don't backbite. There's not if and but, and I didn't mean it, and it's a slip of the tongue. So, taqwa Allah, and Allah said it clearly in Surah Al-Baqarah. You want to learn? What do you do? Have taqwa. What's taqwa Allah? Well, you allim it. You practice taqwa, Allah will teach you. And you're going to say, how Allah is going to teach you? He's going to teach you by sending you teachers. He's going to teach you by making you love what you are learning. He's going to teach you by making you practice. He's going to teach you by sending you people who does things in front of you, with things that please Allah. And you see, this is very easy and nice. By you having the taqwa of Allah. And I keep using the word taqwa because our ears needs to get used to this word. Ittaqillah, meaning what in general? Is put a shield between you and the wrath, the anger of Allah and His punishment. And how do I do this? By obeying Him. So I can't be a student of knowledge, or I'm memorizing the Quran, or I'm learning hadith, or whatever that brings me close to Allah, and I am have a morning life, and then I come home, and I am done, I'm like anybody else. يَقُودُ مَعَ الْفَارِضِينَ. You talk as people talk, and you do what other people does. You can do this. تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. And you all know the famous ayah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whomsoever practice the taqwa of Allah, Allah will give him ways, open ways to you, to him. And the best risk, the best sustenance Allah will give you is a good knowledge. Knowledge that changes. So far, two. Any questions so far? Clear? Not too hard? May Allah teach us, Ya Rabbi, Ani. Number two, number three. Three, you practice what you learned. Immediately. Al-amalu bil-ilm. It's the famous ayah of Surah Az-Zumar. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ الْأَحْسَنَ. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Those who listen. So the first line, the first step to learn, you need to listen. And don't rush and come to conclusion. I know this. This is not good. I'm not interested. This is not going to take me anywhere. Don't do this. يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. And Allah didn't say يَسْتَمِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَوْلِ. They listen to the best. No, they listen to everything. So يَسْتَمِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. They follow the best of it. So you've learned five lectures about, for example, salah. You're going to listen to these five. And then you're going to follow the best one. Meaning, closest to Sunnah, closest to the Quran, the easiest one I can do according to these things. العمل بالعلم. You need to practice. سيدنا علي رضي الله عنه says, العلم يحدث بالعمل. علم, knowledge, call for actions. وإلا تركه وفرته. If you're not gonna practice, knowledge will go away. How many times we started, how many of you, if you can show me hands, that's good, if not, it's okay, started the course. What's the drop rate of course, Islamic courses? Sheikh Mustafa. What is it? 50%? Ya Allah. In the Quran school, it's 50% in Sheikh. This is well known statistics. So the class starts at 10, and then 5 graduates. And now 75 is even more. Why do you think this? Number one, because we don't practice. Number one, I think it's our niyyah. We have really to look at the niyyah. And number two, is because we don't practice. And we learned, for example, arkan al-salah. What's arkan al-salah? Can I ask? Is it okay if I ask? What's the pillars of salah? Just give me a number, how many there are, regardless of the madahib. Other than Muna and Yafa. And of course, your Muslim. Just give me a number, throw a number. The pillars of salah, meaning if you didn't do it, if you missed it, that salah is invalid. You did not do salah. You just moved. Bismillah. Give me one, fine, forget the numbers. Give me one. Takbiratul Ikhram. Alhamdulillah. Al-Fatiha, okay? Before, take it one by one, so you never forget it. There's a difference, it's outside or inside salah, that's fine. We will say that later. But there's one before I go for rukur. That's all before. I'm talking about inside. You said Allahu Akbar. There's one before you go for rukur. Can I pray sitting? And I have no excuse? Al-Qiyam, you have to be standing. Al-Qiyamu ma'al qudra alayka. Right? You want to go more? Three in Rukuwa, three in Sujood, and then the Sajda, and the last, the Jans al-Akira, and then you have the last Tashahud, and you have the Tasmeen, and then you have the sequences, it has to be in that sequence, and you have the Itma'inan. You have to take your time and follow. But these are ABCs. I don't want to give too much because then you're going to probably have a new lead. But the point I'm trying to make, if I pray daily, and I don't know the Arkan, or if I memorize the Arkan, and I'm not practicing them, I'm not going to learn anything. You need to practice what you learn. Whatever you learn. The last time you attended a lecture, or listened to a YouTube, or read a book. This is all parts of it. Or you listen to an e-book, read an e-book, or listen to an audiobook. You need to start practicing. It's difficult, trying to Allah says, Allah make it easy. But don't move. And you know all this, the Sahaba, when they memorize the Quran, how did they memorize the Quran? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas is the famous one. He said he did not move 10 ayahs. We did not move to the next 10 ayahs before we memorized, understood, and practiced. So, al-ilm wal-amal. And also Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, إِنَّمَا يُرَادُ الْعِلْمُ وَالْعَمَلِ. The reason you learn is to practice. Do not leave. Look at this one. Don't leave knowledge to practice. Meaning, I don't have time to study. I'm going to do Qiyam al-Layl, and I'm going to read the Quran, and I'm going to memorize Quran. I'm not going to learn anything. Don't do that. And don't leave the amal for ilm. And don't not practice because you're studying. You know what? I'm studying. I don't have time for Qiyam. I don't have time to read my Quran. I'm studying. You need to get to the balance. You need to get to the balance. You have to practice what you learned. Whatever you learned, practice it before you go to the next one. So far we learned niyyah, number two, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number three is practice. Number four, be patient. Be patient. You have too many forces, works against us when we are learning the secret knowledge. What's the first force against us? Before shaitan, you always throw it on shaitan. Before shaitan. It's us, yes. Us. نفسي, me, inside me, right? It's boring, it's too hard. What I'm gonna get out of it? I wanna do this, I wanna do that, I wanna sleep. So number one, I have to work against my nafs. Two is absolutely shaitan. And how shaitan will operate? He has so many ways shaitan to operate. One way he will operate is through people. How many of you people will look at them and say, well, what are you studying? So how much they will pay you? What job you will get? Right? Can I be a little bit tougher? So when your son or daughter wants to study Islamic studies, right? What do you normally tell them? Go to medical school, finish medical school, and then study Islamic studies. True or false? Why? Why is it so important to be a physician? I'm one, I'm not making fun of them, I'm one of them. But why is it so important? Because we make more money than Islamic studies. So shaitan will come through your friends, your parents, your colleagues. Like, what are you doing, especially if you already established, why are you doing this, you know? What else shaitan is going to come to you, or to me, or to us? Can I tell you? It's too difficult. This is way too hard. You cannot do this. Especially if you're not 18 or 19, you know, you finished college or you're working. It's going to come and tell you, this is way, or you're too old for this. Don't. There's no age for this. There's no age limit. Allah did not put age limit to memorize the Quran or to learn about the Rasulullah or to learn how to get close to Allah. Never. At all. What other way shaitan come to? Ask yourself why you're not doing it. Then you will know the answers. Why you're not doing it? Tell me, I don't have time. Right? I'm too busy. You don't have time to watch TV? You don't have time to cook? You don't have time to entertain people every weekend? Either invited or you have guests? You have time for that. But why don't I have time for the study? Because that's how shaitan comes to me. Shaitan doesn't come to me and say, you don't have time for the to go out. No, you need to feel good about yourself. So you need some time off for that. So you need to be patient against yourself, against the shaitan. Absolutely. One of the things, one of the ayat that you basically practice with you as you are studying, memorizing Quran, is the ayah of Surah Al-Zumar. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily, those patient people who are patient, people who practice patience, they will be rewarded unaccountably. And the scholar teaches you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, two things. He said there is no accounted, a fixed amount of reward. Everything he says, 1 times 10. Except two things. One in the Quran, one in the Hadith. One is sabr. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily, those who practice patience, who their character is patient, Allah will reward them. And the second one is fasting, which is part of sabr. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, Hadith Qudsi. And he said, الصَّوْمُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الصَّوْمُ لِي وَلَا أَجْزِي بِي. Fasting is for me, and I will reward you. How much? So you really have to practice patience with this, and you need to teach yourself to be patient. Why do I need patience? I need patience, number one, to find the right place I want to study. The right school, the right program. These days you have to pay for it. These days you have to take time off. You have to go to the teachers. You have to be patient with the teachers. We're going to come to this. Some teachers may be not your style. Some teachers may be tough. Some teachers may be not the way you are used to. You need to be patient. And you're going to beg and ask Allah to give you patience. Because that's the main reason why people drop out. Because they are not patient. They're going to say, I'm not going to be able to do this. This is too much for me. Don't do this. At all. The more la ilaha illallah, there's a hadith Qudsi, which probably most of you, if not all of you, know the meaning. And Allah said the meaning of it. When you try to get close to Allah, and you come in an arm length, how Allah will come to you. In a one. So I take one step toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will take 2 steps toward me. I take 2, Allah will take 10. How? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not moving, he's not coming. But this is how it is. You are so finding it difficult to study, finding it difficult to stay in that program, just to stay. Turn to Allah and says, Ya Rabbi, Wallahi, I want to come close to you. What's going to happen? You're going to feel different. Allah will send you a teacher who you love. Or a friend who's going to really make you feel happy. Or suddenly you're going to start enjoying it. Or you're going to find it is really easy. What happened? You're the same human being. What happened is, you talk to Allah and you want to get close to Him and you practice patience. You have to be patient. As-sabru ala al-ilm. It doesn't come. Actually, and I say this all the time, again in my profession, any knowledge you are learning, you need to be patient. In residency, I'm an OBGYN. In residency, you work 18 hours, sometimes 36 hours. You work 18, then you're on call, then you finish next day and you go. When I look back, I was like, how did I do that? Why? Because I loved it and I want to do it. And Allah gave me the patience. Same thing when you study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just say Allah will make it easy. The people who learned is not better than me. And I always say this to myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all two eyes, two ears, one tongue and the same brain. Nobody was given four and I was given two. So I say I can. No. The difference is how much you have patience and endurance. How much you really want to do. And I always say this to the ladies. Cooking any kind of a food that has a lot of meat, how much it takes you? 2 or 3 hours to get things ready for guests. Some people look at you and says, I can never do this. You know, I'm just going to pick up the phone and order. Why do you do it? Because you love it. You want it. So anything you want and you love it, Allah will make it easy. And you just keep going. You know, just keep going. And the famous today is a Friday. What did Sayyidina Musa did? What's Friday? Why did I say Friday? Surah Al-Kahf. Okay. So there are two trials in Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf talks about trials. Things will be tested in this dunya. We're going to be tested in our deen, we're going to be tested in our money, we're going to be tested in our knowledge, and we're going to be tested in our in the power. So the story of Sayyidina Musa is about what? About knowledge. Right? Sayyidina Musa, which we're going to come to this, Sayyidina Musa thought that he knows everything. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him someone, you know, Sayyidina al-Khidr, who knows way more than him. First thing Sayyidina al-Khidr said, told Sayyidina Musa, you're not going to be patient. Because it is hard. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. You will not be able. Right? And what did Sayyidina Musa first said? ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرة. No. He didn't give up right away. No. I will, by the grace of Allah, I'll be patient. This is what he told yourself. I will be patient. And keep reminding yourself, the people who learned are not better than you. They won't have anything more than I do, except more resolve. So, niyyah, taqwa, your pure intention, Allah's conscious, practice what you learned, and be patient. 5. Don't be shy to ask. The student of knowledge wants to learn, and you do not understand everything. You do not know everything, especially for those of you who don't know the Arabic language, because a lot of the books of deen are in Arabic, let alone the Quran. Don't be shy. Having said that, the other way around is don't be too arrogant. And learn how to ask for shuyukh or your teachers, because it's part of the other. Right? And if you disagree, and it's going to come, of course you will disagree with people, because there is a different opinion. How are you going to present this? It's never ever. In this path, you say to your teacher, you're wrong. You're done. Allah will not teach you. Most of the shuyukh, the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, they would not get offended by what you say, because their niyyah is for Allah. But you will not be wrong. Don't say you're wrong. This is how I learned. Right? You always, what do you say? You know what? I'm probably wrong, but that's what I read. Can you please explain it to me? And then probably your teacher is going to tell you, you know what, there's different opinions, and you're going to start learning about different opinions, especially in fiqh. So ask. And I always say this to the woman. They asked the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam questions. I am an OBGYN now, and I feel very uncomfortable talking about it. And they absolutely did not have, they were not hesitant to ask. Who asked the Rasulullah about menstruation? And it's in the Quran. ويسألونك عن المحيض. They ask you about menstruation. Who asked? The answer is in the next ayah. Who asked? الصحابة. يسألونك عن المحيض. قل هو أذن. Tell them it's pain, it's hardship. فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض. Stay away from the woman in during menstruation. Right? يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر. They ask you about gambling and about alcohol. They ask. And the woman asked the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Then you ask. Because if you don't understand, you need to understand. But before you ask, you need to learn the adab, the etiquette of asking. Ask with an empty cup. Don't ask with, and for example, very common these days, we hear people say, I read in the internet. Right? I'm not saying the internet is wrong. No. There is a lot of beautiful information there on the net. But there's also a lot of information you need to not to read. And unless you have the knowledge, you're not going to be able to differentiate. So you cannot come and argue with a scholar saying, I read on the internet. Let alone other things we do. So ask, but learn the adab of the asking. Number six, which the brothers said it, be humble. Be humble. The more you're humble, the more Allah will teach you. I've seen people, yani if I tell you they are walking Quran, I'm not exaggerating. And I'm talking about humans, some of my teachers, walking Quran. They talk one line and they quote the ayah with nothing in front of them. I've seen women, they quote the hadith by the sanad, by everything. Right? And you see them. If you start even to say Jazakillahu khair, their face become red and they tell you, what do I mean? Wallahi Allah. And here we are, we learn this and that, we memorize this or this, and we start becoming, and if they don't call us this name or that name, we get very upset. Be humble. Be humble. Very humble. Right? And even Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the knowledge. What was the only dua that Allah asked him in the Quran to ask for more? In Taha, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And look at the way of the dua. وَقُلْ say, رَبِّ my Lord, زِدْنِي, increase me in knowledge. Meaning, I'm not going to do it. It's not me, it's not my, because I'm very smart, because I'm very hardworking, I. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي, you're going to increase me in knowledge. That's humbleness. Very humble. And Sayyidina Umar said a beautiful line. تَعَلَّمُوا الْعِلْمِ. Learn the knowledge. وَتَعَلَّمُوا لَهُ السَّكِينَ وَالْوَقَارِ. And learn for it. To be humble. Sakina, to be serene. To be calm. And to have dignity. وَتَوَاضَعُوا لِمَنْ تُعَلِّمُونَ وَلِمِنْ تَتَعَلَّمُونَ. And lower yourself to those who you are teaching and to those who you are learning from. Lower yourself. Sometimes you get your teacher 20, 25 years younger than you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the age. It's not about age. It's about who knows more. Right? The teacher can be older, the teacher can be younger. I had patients, my patients toward my teachers. When I, and they, in the office, they call me the Torah. But when I am their student, they call me by my name. And I'm very happy with the same thing. I don't call them by their first name because they are my patient. No, I'm in the class, I'm their student. And the same thing here. You don't look and say, well, what does he know? He just came, he just graduated. Doesn't matter. He learned, he knows more. May Allah reward him or her. They're giving you their time, and you learn from them. Each one you can learn from them something. So تَعَلَّمُوا الْعِلْمِ. Learn the knowledge, be humble to those who teach you, and those who you are learning. وَلَا تَكُونُوا جَبَابِرَةَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And don't be so arrogant and mighty. And no way your knowledge is going to combine with your ignorance. If you are ignorant, then you are arrogant. These doesn't come together. Does not come together. And Imam Malik told Harun al-Rashid, إذا علمت علما فليرى عليك أثره. When you are taught something, people should see the result in you. When you are taught something, people should see the result on you. It's not I know and I just say it. People have to see it. You learned, for example, you learned not to look down at people. You learned arrogance is a major sin. And people should see this in your behavior. So when you enter, and you entered, and you are the last one to enter, and everybody took a good place, and you are the oldest person, but that's the only place available. You learn not to be arrogant. You learn to be humble. Then you're going to go and say, that's Allah gave me that place. You practice here, and this and see what Allah will give you. Five people will get up and give you their feet, because you're not looking for it. So definitely be humble. And Imam Shafi'i, he said, no one seek this knowledge with arrogance and he will be successful. But those who seek this knowledge by being very humble and living minimum and serve the knowledgeable, he will be successful. Serve the people who teaches you. And I'm not saying this because I'm teaching you. I'm saying this in general because when seeing this, we're losing this. The people who teach us, you should never, it's like your parents, you never forget their favor upon you. They have to be part of your dua. Has to be part of whatever they taught you. They taught you how to read Al-Fatiha, and you say it's only Al-Fatiha, it's Al-Fatiha. Anything they teach you, young or old, make a dua for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make you the idhillah. Teach someone, including your children, and they will make a dua. So always be humble. Number 7, Sheikh Mustafa, tell me, when do we have to stop? Oh, 3 minutes. 6 minutes. Okay, so I'm just going to give you the rest. Maybe I'm not going to get into detail because we need to. Number 7, al-himma fi talab al-ilm. You need to have high bar. Raise the bar when you are learning this deen. Raise the bar. Don't say, I'm going to, for example, memorize the Quran. It's okay if I memorize Juz' Amma. Don't say this. Say, I'm going to memorize the whole thing. Raise the bar. You know what I'm saying? Like when you have guests coming to your home, do you give them one dish? Of course not. At least 5, 6, or 10, right? They are my guests. Why? Because they are my guests. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, okay, one juz'? Raise the bar. And I say this always, this is a beautiful hadith, and they always remind you of this hadith when you are learning this deen. It's hadith in al-Tirmidhi. Rasulullah s.a.w. says, يَغْتَنِمْ خَمْسْ قَبْلَ خَمْسْ. Take the advantage of 5 before 5. Some of you may know this hadith. And if you all know it, alhamdulillah, ذَكِّفَ أَنَا ذِكْرَ خَمْسَ عَلَى الْمَنِينَ. Remember, remind, the reminder benefits those who are the believers. يَغْتَنِمْ خَمْسْ قَبْلَ خَمْسْ. Take advantage of 5 before 5. شَبَابُكَ قَبْلَ خَمْسْ. Being young, youth, you have energy, you have the resolve, you don't mind, you don't need much sleep, you have the energy, you don't need to eat that much, you don't need to sleep before you get old. شَبَابُكَ قَبْلَ خَرَمُكَ صَحَّتُكَ قَبْلَ سَقَمُكَ. Your health before you get sick. You have headache, you cannot fast. You start having high blood pressure, the physician will tell you maybe it's not a good idea. You have diabetes, forget it. So صَحَّتُكَ قبل سقمك فراغك قبل شغلك. Your free time before you get busy. You're single before you get married. You only married with no children before you have children. Summer before school starts. This is all for time, free time. That's why I always say this to myself and to everybody. Muslims should never say we are bored. What is bored mean? You have so many things to do on this life and you tell me I'm bored? Or I get depressed because I have nothing else to do. فراغك قبل شغلك. غناك قبل فقرك. You have wealth, use it for Allah, for your benefit before you get poor. What's the meaning of poor? Things change or you will have too much responsibilities. And the last but not the least. Like today, it's amazing, and it turned to be not a Muslim. The garden I opened when we were entering. It's amazing. And you know, I used to say, hi, how are you? I said, how are you? He said, I'm perfect. And I looked at him and said, I'm alive. Subhanallah. سبحان الله. I remember this hadith. حياتك قبل مماتك. You are alive before you die. So الهمة, take the هيمة. Be with how high it is. And I'm just going to give you the rest of these one by one, and then you can always look it up later on. The extremely important knowledge, who's your friend? Of Sahib, the Siyar of Sahib. Make sure those friends who, if they are not better than you, they are with you. Never, ever take a friend who's going to put you down. Because then you will not continue. Don't have a friend tell, what are you doing? Oh, I tried, it didn't work. Don't waste your time. Don't do that. Take a friend who finished and they are above you and they say, oh, come on in, it's not a big deal. You'll see it. In the beginning, it's hard. Allah will make it easy. That's what we want. Number 9, time. You need to be time efficient, as they say it in these days and age. Very efficient. You don't waste your time. You don't do something that takes 5 minutes, you do it for 30 minutes. You're wasting your time. You have to be extremely efficient. The least to do, and everyone, how much it takes, you will give it that much time. Be open to different opinions. And this by itself means a whole lecture. Be open to different opinions, especially when we come to Salah. These are all scholars who differ. Who are we to say who is right or wrong? Be open, especially when you are learning different madhab or different opinions. Or it, be open. Be open. And number 12, which we talked about in the beginning, politeness with your teacher. Politeness with you. I cannot stress on this. I can't stress on this. Extreme politeness. Extreme politeness. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas. Kibr al-Ummah. He is like the ink of this Ummah, meaning he's the one who knows everything. He used to Anas ibn Anas, which is the helper of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas is, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas pulled the donkey of Sayyidina Anas because Sayyidina Anas taught him. He was younger. And he said, this is what we learned from Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Sayyidina Anas is the servant of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam. But because he learned from him, he used to pull his. And Sayyidina Anas is on the donkey or on the horse, and he pulls the horse. Al-adab ma'ashir. Now, writing the knowledge, reviewing the knowledge, memorizing the knowledge. What you are writing, if not going to look at it again, nothing is going to stay there. So you write, you review, you memorize. Write, review, memorize. The last thing is you call people for Allah. When Allah did you for them. You never do it because you want to do a da'wah. Remember in the retreat we said this? What is da'wah? Invitation. You don't invite people to something you don't have. You invite people to your home when you have a house. You invite people to this deen when you are practicing this deen. So last thing is you use your knowledge to teach, and I will say the first good people you teach is your household. If you teach your children, alhamdulillah, you will have a immah of ulama. Just focus on your house itself. Jazakum Allah khairan, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi taslima kathira.